The mitzvah of tzitzis appears in the Chumash, both in the Chumash Bamidbar and the Chumash Devarim. The two parshiyos have to be read together, to blend in together, in order to figure out what the picture is. The mitzvah only applies if the beged has four corners. If the beged only has three corners, balas shalosh, then it's not chayiv in tzitzis. What if it's a balas chumash? What if it has five corners? So that's a machlokes hatanoim, and we paskin that it is chayiv in tzitzis, but
How would that be feasible?
The corners won't be right angles, okay? They won't be 90 degree angles. They'll be smaller angles, okay? It is feasible. There'll be
acute angles, no.
Larger angles.
Obtuse angles.
Yeah. Okay, larger angles.
How do you decide if it's a corner versus it gets flat enough? It's kind of.
If it's round, it says it's not chayv and tzitzis, and if it's a corner, then it is chayv and tzitzis. If it has five corners, so we paskin like that Tana machlekes in the Braisa, we paskin it is chayv and tzitzis. The Rambam writes, you put the tzitzis in the four corners that are furthest from each other. The idea being that the Midrashim say that the person should be mesubah of the mitzvah. He should have two tzitzis in the front, two tzitzis in the back. The Taz raises an issue that he says a lot of people wear the tzitzis in such a way, they wear the tzitzis under their shirt. They only have two tzitzis on the right side, two tzitzis on the left side together. You're not really mesubah of the mitzvah. You don't have two in the front, two in the back. That you don't have all four separated from each other. Taz thinks that that's okay. Thinks that mesubah of the mitzvah means if you have two together here, two together here.
Well, it's not mesubah because what? Because it's not exposed? Because it's inside?
No. He says if you have the tzitzis exposed, if you have the chutim exposed. So he thinks that it's not necessary to have two in the front and two in the back, even though that's the lashon of the Shulchan Aruch. Doesn't necessarily have to be taken literally. It just shouldn't all be on the same side. Two on one side together, two on the other side together would be acceptable. What material beged is chayv in tzitzis? So that also machlokes hatanoim. Halacha lemaisa, even silk, even cotton, any material is chayv in tzitzis, but it's a machlokes hatanoim, whether this is ben haTorah midrabbanan. One time is of the opinion that only tzemer of pishtim, tzemer alone, or pishtim alone is chayv in tzitzis. Ben haTorah becomes Stam beged, homer matayra, is either tzemer or pishtim. The other Tana disagrees, and he says no, that even other materials also chayiv mitzitzis menater. Tzitzis is what the Rambam calls a mitzvah sorshus. It's not really an optional mitzvah, it's a conditional mitzvah. If you're wearing a four-corner garment, then you chayiv to wear tzitzis. Like if your firstborn baby is a boy, then you have a mitzvah pidyon haben. My firstborn baby was a girl, so I didn't have a mitzvah pidyon haben. If you live in a house where you use the roof, then you chayv to put a makah. In my building, they don't let anybody use the roof, so there's no chayv to put a makah. Chayv makah is only if you use the roof, so that's a conditional mitzvah. So the mitzvah tzitzis only applies if you happen to be wearing a four-corner garment. If the minhag ha'makom is that everybody wears, that's the normal garment, everybody wears four-corner garments, and this person goes out of his way, the dafke not to wear a four-corner garment, so then the Gemara says, we can't really fault him, but the Gemara says the Malach warned Rav Ketanah he's going to be punished because he went out of his way. The normal garment that they had, Bizman and Gemara had, the Goyim also wore like that. They wore four-cornered garments. So if a person goes out of his way, he does a harame. He goes and he buys Dafke a garment that doesn't have four corners, and then Be'idan Rischo, when the Rabban Shalom is angry at the world, he will punish people who went out of their way to pater themselves for the mitzvah of tzitzis. In Shulchan Aruch, they say a person should put himself in a situation that he should become mechuyev in tzitzis. He should go out of his way to mechayev himself. He should wear a four-corner garment, even though in the normal stores today they don't sell them anymore. But they could buy the goyim, and the regular stores, they don't sell four-corner garments. We should go out of our way. How do you know? Because that's what Moshe Rabbeinu did. Moshe Rabbeinu was told that he won't enter, and he offered so many prayers, hundreds of prayers, he wanted to enter Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara asks, why did Moshe have such a desire to enter Eretz Yisrael? The Gemara at the end of the first parak in Saita, was it because he wanted to enjoy, have a good time swimming in the Kinneret? Why did he want so much? The Gemara says, no. He wanted to put himself in a situation that he would be obligated to observe the mitzvahs of Tluyas Baretz. He's going to live in Chutz Lotz, he won't have a chance to. So the Rishonim say, the Shita Mukbetzes quotes this. Do you see that the proper thing is we should emulate Moshe Rabbeinu? The proper thing is to go out of your way, to put yourself in a situation that one should become mechuyev in mitzvahs, even if in the normal course of events, you're not mechuyev in the mitzvahs. You're not mechuyev to marry a second wife. My first child was a girl. You're not mechuyev to marry a second wife in order to try again, to have a boy the first time. But over here, this is within reason. Other Balei HaTosfos disagree. Shita Mukbetzes quotes, and they say, when one will be on a madrega like Moshe Rabbeinu, then it makes sense that you should go out of your way to wear a four-corner garment. Balabatim are not necessarily in such a madrega. So there were many, there were communities in Morocco where the minhag clearly was that only the rabbi wore a talis. The Balabatim didn't wear talis, but the rabbi is like Moshe Rabbeinu. So the rabbi should go out of his way and wear a four-corner garment to be mechayiv himself in tzitzis. But the Balabatim, you shouldn't act as if they're on the madrega of Moshe Rabbeinu. I have a distant relative who was from Morocco, and he was bemoaning the fact that when all the Jews from Morocco moved to Eretz Yisrael, most of them gave up all of their menhagim for Naal Tehaim, and they all blended in with everybody else's menhagim. So he was specifically complaining about this. The Jews from Morocco, from those villages, should maintain the menhagim that only the rabbi wears the talis. No, no. So on Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah says that one should go out of his way to wear a woolen garment, know for sure that he's fulfilling a mitzvah min haTorah. Because if you just wear a cotton garment, then according to some Rishonim, according to some Tanoim, it's only a mitzvah midrabbanan. With respect to shatnas, the Gemara learns out that there are two psukim. Beged klaim shatnas layal alecha. And one pasuk says, lo silba shatnas. Lo silba shatnas means you're not allowed to get dressed with a garment of shatnas. Beged klaim shatnas layal alecha is an iser ha'aloh, even if it's not a garment that you're wearing. Let's say I have a blanket that consists of shatnas. You can't say I'm wearing the blanket, but it's ha'aloh. I'm covering all of my body with a blanket. See there, the Gemara points out at the beginning of Yevamos that there are two psukim, there are two prohibitions, the din of ha'aloh and the din of levisha. What about by tzitzis, the four-cornered blanket is chayv in tzitzis? But he's saying, no, that din of ha'aloh is the same as levisha. That's only with respect to shatnas, because you have sukkim like that, but by tzitzis is not possible. So the Magen Avraham quotes one of the obscure Rishonim. It's not the Riyah, the Rabbeinu Tam, it's not the Rambam. I forgot already who it is. One of the Rishonim says that just like by shatnas, so too by tzitzis. The blanket is chayv in tzitzis. So that's why some were careful to make sure that when they had a woolen blanket, that for sure, the Magen Avraham has this more or less. If it's temro pishtim, that l'chol ha'deis, it's their isa, so some would go out of their way to make one of the corners rounded off. So for sure you're not chayv in tzitzis. To put tzitzis on a blanket would be dovah tamua. So that rather than putting the tzitzis on the blanket, they rounded off to one of the corners. But if the blanket is made from some other material, they weren't so machmer. Yeah. The pasuk says, "Risim also you should see the tzitzis." So the Gemara has a machlokes satana. What does that mean? So one time we pass in la loch risim also prat l'ksus lailo. That at night time normally it's dark, so ksus lailo is not chayv in tzitzis. What does that mean? It means that pajamas are not chayv in tzitzis. But if we wear a talis at night time, a talis is a ksus yom. You say pajamas are potter from tzitzis even in the daytime, and a talis is chayv in tzitzis even at night. Depends on ksus yom versus ksus lailo. That's the Loshon HaGemara, that's how Tosfos says, or should I say no, like the Rambam, that it depends on Yom and Lailo.
But is the beggar that we wear as a pretext for wearing tzitzis, is that neither Ksus Yom nor Ksus Lailo, because you don't buy it or have a dashery, it's not intended for the day or the night.
So that's Miyuchad for Yom and Lailo. It's for Yom and Lailo. It's neither pajamas nor working clothes. So that's Ksus Yom and Lailo. It's both. So that's a machlokes Tosfos and the Rambam. Tosfos and the Rosh say that pajamas are potter, even in the daytime. But if you wear talus by laila, you chayv in tzitzis. And the Rambam holds that it depends on the Yom HaLayim. That's why in the Shulchan Aruch and Hilchas Erev Rosh Hashanah, when it says that the minhag is that you say slichas is recited in the middle of the night, before Alos HaShachar, the minhag is that the chazan puts on the talus, because Vayavar Hashem upon him Vayikra. The Gemara comments Malamish and Esata Bakadosh Baruch Hu Kushliach Tzibur. In the vision that Moshe Rabbeinu had, Vayavar Hashem upon him Vayikra. That nevuah, he imagined as if his vision was as if Hakadosh Baruch Hu put on a talis, and he recited Yud Gimel Midas. Hakadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, because Man Shabbanin Choytim, when the Jewish people will sin, Yasal Lefonik Seder Azer Vani Mochalem. Let them do this ceremony. Let them recite Yud Gimel Midas and do tshuva, and I will forgive them. So Hakadosh Baruch Hu was nesatev kishliach tzibur. So the shliach tzibur says the slichas should also wear a talis. So the shliach is going to put on a talis at night. It's going to be a machlekas. The Rambam and the Rosh, whether he says a bracha. According to the Rambam, you don't say a bracha balaylo, because there's no mitzvah balaylo. According to Tosfos and the Rosh, it's a ksus yom balaydi wachayv in tzitzis. So it's in Shulchan Aruch. That since tzitzis is not an absolute obligation, if you have to shake a lulav and there's a suffix, if there's a suffix of yemuchliyev, you have no choice, you have to shake the lulav and not say a bracha. But over here, don't put on the talis. Rather than do a mitzvah without a bracha, so in Shulchan Aruch, they recommend don't put on the talis. But the chazan has to put on the talis. Malam shen esat v'akadosh bocha gushliach tzibur. So they say in Shulchan Aruch, you should wear someone else's talis.
So
also ksusyom and ksus laila. It's not miyuchot for sleeping. So arba kanfis is also considered both a ksusyom and laila, right?
And that midrash of nisatish kishrach tzibur, is that only by slichos or any time a person slichos
tzibur? Poshim shad any time a shlich tzibur, by mincha and mayrev also. Right, so by mayrev, when the chasm puts on a talis, he shouldn't put on his own talis, because then it'll be a machlikis, but he says a broch. He should wear someone else's talis. Wear someone else's talis also. The Gemara says, the Gemara says that a talis she'ula, if you borrow a talis from someone else, it's not chayv in tzitzis. Means if I borrow a four-corner garment that doesn't have tzitzis, I'm not obligated to put in tzitzis. What if I borrow the four-corner garment that does have tzitzis in it? So do you say a bracha or not? So Tosfos writes they're not sure about that. Tosfos in Kolabasa, in Chula in Kolabasa. Tosfos writes they're not sure. Maybe you do say a bracha. But that's what the Ramor recommends. But the Chazan puts on a talis balaylo for Mayrav or for Slichas, shouldn't put on his own talis, he should wear someone else's talis.
Why did we, if someone's wearing a bag of Chazan, so how come when he puts on a talis, he makes another
bracha
on that also?
Every beggar you put on is another mitzvah. If you wear 15, you've got to be 15.
And when
we never had a minute to go out of your way to wear 15, you've got to. There is no such minute, yeah.
If someone goes to
daven
mincha and puts on the talis, he's supposed to make a bracha.
If you only put on a talis for mincha for 15 minutes, so maybe that's not called. You're just putting on that as a uniform, so maybe it's not called the levisha. So usually they don't say bracha. But if you're going to put on for shachris, which I hope is going to take more than 15 minutes, so then the proper thing is that if he wears his own talis for mincha, then he should say bracha. But if he's wearing the talis hakohol, so we assume the kohol is makna, the talis to whoever is a member of the kohol. Kohol is makna to him for the purpose of fulfilling the mitzvah. So if he's only going to wear it for an aliyah, so usually you don't say bracha. But if he's going to wear it for a longer period of time, then usually you do say bracha.
Does it matter how you wear it? For example, if you take the skatan and just wear it on your neck behind you or something like that, so that doesn't get in the way of what you're doing. And you're not actually wearing it over your entire body, you just have it in you, behind you, off of your neck.
You're not chayv in tzitzis unless it covers up a significant part of the body, yeah.
So
if you wear it in Shulchan Aruch, if you wear just a prayer shawl that goes over the neck like a scarf, then that's not chayv in tzitzis.
Okay. So how much is enough of the body to be chayv in tzitzis?
In Shulchan Aruch, they talk about how much. So the Mishnah Brura says it should be Amar Alam in the front, Amar Alam in the back. And he says if it's smaller than that, he considers it a problem of Hoitzor on Shabbos. The tie is not Amar Alam, but he considered it a problem of Hoitzor on the strings. That the Gemara says there's no violation of Hoitzor when you wear garments. Because of Matakshitim, why is there no Isser of Hoitzor when you wear tzitzit? So the answer is because you're fulfilling the mitzvah with the chutim, so the chutim are bottle gabi the beged. But if you wear a baby size arba kanfis, you're not fulfilling the mitzvah tzitzis. So then the Mishnah Berurah thinks that there's an isra of hoitzor on the chutim, and the collection of tshuvas by the Netziv, I think the first tshuva is to the Bala Mechaba Mishnah Brura, and he takes issue with this. He says, what do you mean? If a person wears a scarf and it has fringes hanging on the end, that's the way he wears the scarf. The guy wears a baby, maybe she says it's a bracha levatala. Okay, if it's not a hamalama, say it's a bracha levatala. But to say it's an issue of it's on Shabbos, how can it be Yotzah? That's the way the guy wears the begotten all week long.
One question is, where cotton tzitzis, would there possibly be Yotzah?
If a person wears
cotton tzitzis or synthetic tzitzis, I mean,
no.
Synthetic begad, cotton begad.
No, all begotten are chayv and tzitzis. The only dispute is whether men haTorah or the Rabbanan. Zemer apishtim v'shur is men haTorah. The other minim is a machlekes hatanaim and a machlekes in Shulchan Aruch. What is the rice of the Rabbanan? But it is chayv and tzitzis. So that wouldn't be an issue of hoitzor on the strings. The Netziv has a taina. The Gemara says it's an issue of hoitzor on the strings if you have, in the four corners you have tzitzis, and the tzitzis in one of the corners is puzzle, so you're going to have to take it out and put a, replace it with a different one. So the one that's puzzle, you're going to take it out, that's an issue of hoitzor. I can say it's bottle of gabbet beged, he plans to take it out. Bottle of gabbet beged means mechubel beged. Is dinake beged. Let's have a pocket here. So the beged is mechubela beged, dinake beged. I have a label here from the store, mechubela beged normal. Some people years ago used to stick on the shotgun's label. A lot of people still stick on. So mechubela beged normal, darke bekach. If you have, let's say, from the cleaner, they clipped on a tag. That's not normal to walk around with the cleaner's tag or with the sales tag on the thing. It has the price on it, has the size on it. That's mechubela beged. That's not normal. So they don't say mechubela beged, dinake beged. That's not normal. So if you have a tzitz in a corner, that's possible, you're going to take it out and replace it. Then the Gemara says that it's like so on the string. But if you have four corners, a baby-sized arbakamfas and tzitzis in the four corners, that's the way the guy walks all week long. Let's say he doesn't say a bracha on the arbakamfas. He only says a bracha on the talis golem. So he's not saying any bracha about tola. And then it's if Tainus says no hoitzor. He says no hoitzor on the strings.
And according to the shita that said that the begin, the whole chiyuv on Laila Nyom is not necessarily on the Laila Nyom, it's more on the Beged itself. Would women then be chayv in tzitzis?
The Gemara says women are chayv in tzitzis. No. Let me go through the Gemara. The Gemara comments on the Pasuk, Harisa Moses Chartim is Chamitz Hashem. What does it mean? So one Tana says, Harisa Moses Prat Luxus Laila. So which the Machlek is Tesis Neram. Doesn't mean pajamas are potter, doesn't mean balayli are potter. Whichever way it is, then the Gemara says it's called a mitzvah sesis shahazman groma. So Tesis raised the question, why should it be? If it, the way they think that pajamas are potter, so why is that a mitzvah sesis shahazman groma? This man is not gorim dechiv. The fact that it's pajamas is gorim dechiv. So Tesis says, well, since nighttime plays a role in the chiyuv, a beggar hamiyuchad lelaila, since the zman of laila plays a role in the chiyuv, so that's also called a mitzvah sasei shazman grama. Kabbanari says he doesn't understand what Tosis answered. He thinks the kasha is better than the Teretz. But that the Gemara says, if you hold prat leksus laila, that's the drasha, reis masa prat leksus laila, whatever that means, then women would be potter from tzitzit. According to the other tanoim, reis masa prat leksus suma, that blind people are potter from the mitzvah tzitzis, on the assumption that a blind person assumes chai b'chol ha-mitzvahs, also machloik is hatanoim, an assumption, the suma is normally chai. So here it says, there is a mosa prat l'suma, or another test. So the Gemara said, if you hold from that drosha prat l'suma, then women would be chai and tzitzis. There were Amoraim who put on tzitzis on their wives' four-corner garments, the Gemara says. The Gemara has a third interpretation, there is a mosa chartim is kamitz Hashem. When you look at the tzitzis, which has tchelis and lovan, then rei mitzvah zuz chor mitzvah acheris, then this will remind you, in the middle of the night, it's dark outside, so you can't tell the difference between Tchelis and Lovan. When the sun is, an hour before the sun is going to rise, there's already a little light on the horizon. So when one is able to be makab in Tchelis LaLovan, so then he's chayiv in Kriyashma. So one time, there's a machlokes in the Gemara, whether the obligation to recite Kriyashma is the Rais of the Rabbanim. So Tosfos paskens that Kriyashma is only the Rabbanim. Taisus Bekamus assumes that Kriyashma is only the Rabban. But this Tana thinks that Kriyashma, the Rabban Paskin, Shulchan Aruch, we Paskin Kriyashma is the rice. Safik Kara Kriyashma, Safik Lo Kara, Chosevik Kara, because Safik the rice is Luchumra. So we assume Kriyashma is the rice. So if one holds that Kriyashma is the rice, then the Gemara says another interpretation. A reason also, not that so much a mitzvah to see the tzitzis. When you see the difference between Tchelis and Lavan, then you know that it's a Giyaz Man Kriya Shema Shal Shachris. Taisit discusses how do we pass on Allah HaMaisa women. Achayiv and Tzitzis, so women are not chayiv. So Taisit shows from all the Gemaras, even though there were Amoraim who held that women are chayiv and Tzitzis, used to make Tzitzis and their wives are bekanfis, they says we don't pass on like that.
Why should they not be?
Why should women not be chayiv and Tzitzis? If you hold Risa Mosa Prat Luxus Lailo, then the Gemara calls it a Mitzvah Saseh Shaz Mangroma. And Tosfos asks the Akasha, how can it be Zmangrava if it depends on pajamas versus, it's not that the, it depends on Yom HaLayla, it depends on Beged Yom, Beged Layla. So why should that be Zmangrama?
Yes.
So Tosfos says, since Man plays a role, it's also called Zmangrama. It's a big Chiddush. The Arzarua is a big sefer, written by one of the Rishonim from Vienna. Ben Yitzchak or Zerua, Ben Yitzchak, Reb Moshe or Zerua. So he had a son, Ben Achaim or Zerua. That's the family's name, Shaim or Zerua. It's not the family name. He writes in the beginning of the Sefer why he called the Sefer or Zerua. Because he had to write a get, I think, and the Shaila was the husband's name was Akiva. And the Shaila is how do you spell Akiva? So in the Talmud Bavli, Akiva is always spelled with an Aleph at the end. Talmud Yerushalmi, Akiva is always spelled with a Hey at the end. So he was wondering which is the correct way. So he had a dream. Or is it Rola Tzadik Elish or Leif Simcha? So if you take the last letter of every word, it spells out Rebbe Akiva. Or Zarua ends with an ayin. Latzadik ends with a kuf. Elishre is a yud. Leif is a base. Simcha ends with a hey. So because he had the dream, the paskan the shayla based on the dream. So that's why he called the sefer Or Zarua. Okay. That was not his family name. But his son is known as Marach Or Zarua. It was a little sefer.
Probably was Dinkelfar or something like that.
Okay. So he said so the son's name is Rabbi Nechaim Ozura, and he has a collection of Shalas Tshuvas. So the son has this fantastic Chiddush, very, very questionable, that when the Torah was given Har Sinai, the Minig Hamadina at that time in the desert was that Arabs would, the Goyim, would wear clothing batifa. They wouldn't wear clothing the way we do, they would wear clothing batifa. A big sheet, wrap around the body and wrap it over the head. So the Ozer Marach Ozer writes, when the Torah was given, the Rabbanu Shalom said, you should wear tzitzis, it's only the kind of begodim that they wear, bizman latin Torah. Bosa mokim and bosa zman. So you're only chayiv in tzitzis if you have an atifa. If you don't have an atifa, you're not chayiv in tzitzis. So that's why we're choshish with that opinion. So when we're about to say the bracha l'tzata b'tzitzis, we prepare ourselves to do an atifa, that it shouldn't be a bracha l'batol. Mikra din, we really don't hold like that. Chayiv and tzitzis even on an arba kamfis, but because tachashash bracha lebatola, so that's why we go out of our way to do an atifa b'shas bracha to make sure that we're not saying a bracha lebatola. What exactly is, and the bracha should be recited oivel asiyosim. So the different practices exactly. When does one recite the bracha? When one is about to put on the tzitzis? So they should. I see over here the yekis. They hold the talis in front of them. They say the bracha, then they put it behind them. So they should thought. That's a bit of an issue of over the over. The Gemara says the bracha should be recited immediately before the mitzvah. Over. What did the Gemara say? Over l'asiyasim. The Gemara should have said koidem asiyasim. Over means immediately before, to the exclusion of over the over. So Rav Soloveitchik thought the minig where he came from, like Chacham Avad, he always thinks that his psokim are the best in the world. So Rav Soloveitchik thought the minhagim where he came from are the best in the world. So he thought the more correct minig is to hold the talis behind you, over your head, about to do the atifa, and you say the bracha, then you just, that's literally oivel asiyos. Okay. As you're about to perform the atifa. How exactly do you do atifas yishmelem? So in Shulchan Aruch they say, you put the talis over your head, down below your nose. So that's a question, you can't see anything. How could the Arabs walk around like that? How do they walk? They make holes in the front. The women walk around and they make holes in the eyes. How could it be? So the Minkacha, who is not a Sfardi, Mincha Zaluza, writes, he thinks that more correct is the way the Sfardim do the Atifa, that they have it a little bit, they have the talus over their heads, but not over their eyes. They can see out with their eyes. So he thinks it's more correct.
Why is there a necessity to see while you're putting it on?
Eyes what?
Why is there a necessity to see while you're putting on the talus?
not so much to see when you're putting on the talis. We're doing atifa to be choshish for the opinion of the maracha zarua that one is only chayv in tzitzis if he wears the garment derech atifa. And atifa sishmelim, they walked around all day like that. They would, that was the way they normally dressed. How can it be that that's called atifa? That's not a normal way to dress with the covering over your eyes. Then Minchas Aloza thinks we should all become svardim with respect to this issue. Yeah.
I'm sorry, I think
it says
that.
By what?
I'm sorry.
The mitzvah tzitzis has two parts to it. You have to have tcheles and lavan. And there's a machlekes satanayim quoted in Perek HaTcheles. Is it ma'akvim zezeh? So the opinion of a Rebbe is that tcheles and lavan are ma'akvim zezeh. The majority opinion of the Chacham is that they're not ma'akvim zezeh. If you only have tcheles strings or you only have lavan strings, you didn't have a combination of both. So most of the Rishonim assume that the din is that they're not ma'akvim zezeh. There is an agarata in Perek by Mem Adlikin about the Tana Rabbi Yudah, Rabbi Eloy, I think, the way he would bathe on Erev Shabbos, he would put on Big Day Shabbos in advance, and he would dress up L'Kavod Shabbos, and he would sit and wait for Shabbos to arrive. So the Gemara mentions that he would wear a beged with tzitzis on it. So not Gemara, there's a Bal Hamor. Bal Hamor says that the din is that tcheles is ma'kevus asalom. He thinks we should pass him like the Tana, that tcheles and lovan ha'makvim zezeh. The Ramban writes, Ramban was after the Sefer Amor, so the Ramban writes, the Bal Hamor and the Rabbit learned Pechavrus, and the Ramban was later. So the Ramban writes, and we heard that the Bal Hamor never wore a talus, because according to him, tcheles ma'kevus asalov, and so there's no, they didn't have any tcheles at all for many generations. So he never wore a talus. We don't accept that opinion. We hold tcheles is not mi'akevus as a lovan. The mitzvah b'shlimus is to have both tcheles and lovan. The Rambam counts tcheles and lovan as one mitzvah, and he quotes from the Sifrei that the tcheles and lovan is one mitzvah. Rav Daniel HaBavli was a dayan in Baghdad. He carried on a correspondence with Rabbein Avram ben HaRambam, and this was printed in the 1800s. They found the manuscript, and the Mr. Nisim paid for the publication of the Sefer in Paris that's called Maisa Nisim. And it says on the first page it's called Maisa Nisim because Mr. Nisim paid for the publication. And he has the whole correspondence between Rabbein Avram Ben HaRambam with Rav Daniel HaBavli, the dying in Baghdad. Rav Soloveitchik never used to read the sharp blot. So he always, whenever he would quote from that Sefer, he would say in the Sefer Maisa Nisim, and he doesn't know why it's called Maisa Nisim. And never saw any Nisim in the floors there. It's all halacha, it's all straight halacha. It says why? Because Mr. Nisim paid for the publication. It says on the first page in the book. So Rav Daniel HaBavli had a taina against the Rambam. The Rambam himself says that Shal Yad and Shal Rosh are counted as two mitzvahs because the Mishnah says they're not Miakim Zeh Zeh. And Dalamin Shabululav are counted as one mitzvah because they are Miakim Zeh Zeh. So if the Rambam paskins that Tchelus and Lovan are not Me'akvim Zezeh, should have been counted as two mitzvahs. I quoted the Sifrei. The Sifrei says that it counted as one mitzvah. He said the Sifrei goes according to the other Tana, that they are Me'akvim Zezeh. Maybe the Sifrei goes like Rebbe's opinion, that they are Me'akvim Zezeh. So that's his Tana. So Rabbi Avraham and Rambam says no, that what his father wrote, that if it's Me'akvim Zezeh, it's one mitzvah, and not Me'akvim Zezeh, it's two mitzvahs, that's not the whole klal. You have to use your brains a little bit. So he says, but tcheles and lavan are two halves of a mitzvah. Self-understood, they're not two different mitzvahs, it's two parts of the same mitzvah. There
and
was
the Dalminim and the Shal Rosh and Shal Yad counted according to that
Shal Yad and Shal Rosh, this is what one is over here, one is over here. So the Rambam counts those as two different mitzvahs. They're separate meisim. So here, the tchelis and the lavan, you tie together.
You might say collectively from the outside, they're one mitzvah, even though one is makuv. They're makuv zezeh, despite the fact from the. I mean, with the tchelis and lavan.
There are some rishonim hold that shal yad and shal rosh are two mitzvahs. One mitzvah. Some rishonim hold it's one mitzvah.
No, you're just trying to reconcile. You're saying the tchelis and lavan, they are makuv zezeh, but despite the fact they're one.
Tchelis and lavan, we paskin, they're not makuv zezeh. So Rabbi Daniel HaBavli asked the Kasha, so the Rambam should have counted it as two mitzvahs. So why does he count it as one? So he said he's counting on his one because it says in the Sifrei like that. So Rav Daniel, the Ayin Tainas, the Sifrei that he quoted, maybe goes like the Tana who holds it at the Ami Akhim Zezeh. But once we pass in the Ami Akhim Zezeh, so you should have counted it as two mitzvahs. So Rabbi Avram says, no. At the end of the day, the Tcheles and Lomar are all tied up together. It's one thing. Two parts of one thing. The Shalyad is over here, the Shalrosh is over here. They're put on separately. So that makes sense. That as far the Rambam writes, as far the writes, that they're two mitzvahs, but the tchelis and the lovin is all together. It has to be counted as.
Dalminu is.
Since the me'akvim zezeh, so that's considered one mitzvah. There are four parts of one mitzvah. You can't say it's four mitzvahs if they're me'akvim zezeh. In the days of the Vilna Goyen, there were a few dayanim in Vilna, different areas. So one of the dayanim wrote a sefer on Chumash that's called Revid HaZohav, where he has Mar Mekoymus to Gemaris and to Rishonim and to Achrayim on every pasuk. The Torah Tmima writes in his introduction to his commentary on Chumash that he used a lot the sefer Revid HaZohav. He used it an awful lot. He lifted a lot without quoting. Very, very much of the Torah Tmima is lifted from the Revid HaZohav. So in this sefer, Revid HaZohav, he has a suggestion. The Gemara has a discussion. How do you know you can be mekabel gerim bezman shein beis hamikdash kayim? Like one of the parts of the ceremony of geris of conversion is bringing the korban. And the end of Parshas Mishpatim, it says Bnei Yisrael brought a korban at Har Sinai. That was the korban of geris. So bezman shein beis hamikdash kayim, and the ger can't bring a korban, maybe can't convert. So the Gemara says no. The pasuk says b'chiyogu itchem ger the dar v'sechem. You can be mekabel gerim throughout all the generations. So even if you live in a generation, every generation, even in a generation when there's no Beis HaMikdash, you can still be mekabel gerim. So the Revid HaZohav has this remez that once we pass on like the Chachamim, the Tchelis and Lovin and the Me'akim Zezeh, so we understand why the pasuk says, Rosalim Tzavakavik name, the Doroysam. Why does it say the Doroysam throughout all the future generations, even if you live in a generation where there's no Tchelis? It's not exactly the same. Because the Chumash talks about a generation where there won't be a Beis HaMikdash. It said in last week's Sedra, V'ashimos es Mikdash Eichem. The Pasuk talks about a possibility of a generation where there's no Beis HaMikdash. And nonetheless, the Pasuk says, throughout all the generation. The Chumash, and we know that there were generations where Tchelis was not available. They didn't know what the Tchelis, they didn't know how to identify Tchelis. But the Chumash never speaks about such a generation. So how can you, it's not exactly the same. Can't say, since the Darosam, it includes even a generation when you don't have any Tchelis. The Chumash doesn't talk about such a generation. Anyway, that's what the Dayan suggested. Yeah, so you have to put in tzitzis in each one of the four corners. How many strings do you put in? So that's a machlokes b'sham and b'sil. We put in three strings and you fold them over to make six. You put in four strings and you fold them over to make eight. We paskan like b'shamay. Over here. It's one of the few cases, one of the six cases where we passing like the Shammai. You put in four strings and you fold them over to make eight. The Gemara in Bava Basra and Hamechas Hasfina has Agadata in the beginning of the Perek about Rabbi Barbachana was traveling in the desert and he had an Arab tour guide and he was showing in the Meisei Midbar and the Bluei Koirach and all kinds of fascinating things from Tanakh. So then when he came back to the yeshiva, so he asked him, you saw the Meisei Midbar? Did you go to check how many strings they had on their tzitzis? So he said, it didn't occur to him. So they told him, what an idiot. You're a moron. You have a machleket b'sham and b'sil. It was three or four. You should have looked at the tzitzis from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. What was the tour? What was the whole guided tour worth if you didn't check? See if in the Gemara that you can establish dina based on archaeology. That's the pashtas in the Gemara. So we pass from l'alocha that you have four strings, fold them over to make eight. Shailas, how many of the strings do you die tchelas? So that's a big machlokes harishonim. So the Rambam says one out of eight. In other words, a half of one of the long strings. It's not that you take a string and then you die half of it. If you'll die it after you already twined it, then only the outside will be dyed blue, and the inside will not be affected by the dyeing. So you have to dye the wool before you make it into strings. So you have to take. To make one long string, half of it is going to be blue, half of it is not going to be blue. You have to take this wool and make and spin a thread, make half of the string, then you have to take normal wool that's not dyed blue and make the other half. it's an asik. According to the Rambam, that you die, you only have a half a string as blue. The Rabbi disagrees. He says, no, you have one long string. One long string out of the four should be blue. And when you learn the Gemara Perakat Chelas, so the Rashi and Tosis on the Gemara seem to assume that it's two and two, it's half and half. And Shulchan Aruch, that's the only opinion that's quoted. They quote the Rabbi Netama, says that it's two and two, two blue and two white.
What's the place that they visited with the Arab tour guide showed him?
The desert?
Well, what was the place where they were Jews with?
The Meisei Midbar?
What's,
I don't know.
They were buried somewhere?
I don't know. I don't know if the Gemara tells you where. The Arab was giving him a guided tour in the desert. So he showed him where the Meisei Midbar were.
Is it shaykh because we don't have chelos just to have two chutim?
Tosis has two opinions. When Trevis is not available, so it's not Me'akev, so you only have to have two white strings. So they say, no, you have to have four strings to represent what? Trevis and two Alovim. So that's what the common practice was for many centuries, that even if you don't have Trevis, but you have to have four strings. Fold it over to make eight. Yeah. The Gemara says that the Hidur mitzvah is that you should wrap around one third, and two-thirds should be loose, but that's not miyakev. That shia two-thirds and one-third is not miyakev. How many times you have to wrap around? So the Gemara says, tchelis is supposed to be daimel rakia, and the rakia is a blue, the color of the tchelis. And since we know from Tanakh that there are shiva rakiyim, there are seven heavens, as the expression goes in English, that's based on the Gemara in the second parak in Chagiga, there are seven heavens. So therefore, the Gemara, in order to have seven heavens, you have to have six avirim in between. If you don't have six avirim mapsik, then it's only one heaven. So six and seven is 13. So the Gemara says, since the whole, when you have trelis, whole purpose of the trelis is to remind you of the rakia, of the kisya kovet in the heavens above. So therefore, you should have a minimum of seven and a maximum of 13 when you're winding around. So Tosis has pshatim on the Gemara, minimum of seven, maximum of 13 watts. Seven watts. So one pshat is units. So for so many generations, we didn't have chelos. So Tosis says the whole issue is irrelevant. What is it going to help? You're going to make seven keneged rakia. You don't have any chelos. But when you do have chelos, then you should, instead of having, so for many generations, we had four units, 7, 8, 11, 13. So the why they make 7, 8, 11, 13? Because they were working on the assumption, minimum of seven kriches in a chulya. Chulya is between one knot and the other. A minimum of seven, maximum of 13. So they made 7, 8, 11, 13. Seven is the smallest chulya, and 13 is the largest chulya. So that's one opinion in Tosis. You should have a minimum of seven kriches in a chulya. And how many chulyas do you make? So the meaning was that they made four chulyas, like in recent, for many years, we made 7, 8, 11, 13. And the other pshat in Tosis says, no, you should have a minimum of seven chulyas. How many kriches do you make in each chulya? So that's a different Gemara. Gemara says three, minimum of three kriches. So you should really make, you should make seven chulyas, seven units. Each one has a double knot, double knot, double knot. That's our meaning Ashkenaz, make double knots to separate between one chulya and the other. And then how many kriches do you have in each chulya? So the Gemara says three. So if one wants to satisfy the both opinions, you want to have, if you don't have trelis, so the whole thing is only a zecher. The whole 7, 13, not so significant if you don't have entres. But if you have already trelis, then if one wants to satisfy the both opinions in Tosis, these two opinions in Tosis is a machlok, is the Rambam and the Ravid, where it means you should have a minimum of 7, maximum of 13 chulias, units, a minimum of seven kriches in the chulia. So if you want to satisfy both, so you have seven chulias with seven kriches in each one. Yeah, what do you wind around? They wind around chelis, they wind around lavan. So this is already different opinions. This is already different opinions in the Rishonim. Tosis has one way, and the Rambam has a different way, and the Ravid has a different way. Each opinion has sources in the Kisvei Hagoyim about how do you wind around. The Tur quotes from his father, the Rosh. He used to live in Germany, And then the government arrested the Maharam Rutenberg to hold up the Jewish community for ransom money. And Maharam Rutenberg said they shouldn't ransom him because they were asking for way more than he would sell for on the slave market. And the Mishnah says, "Ain't put him so shrim yourself, they demand." They had a slave market then. Today there's no slave market, so you're not allowed to be paid the shuim at all. You're not allowed to pay any money if you're shuim. So the Maharam Rutenberg left instructions that they shouldn't be paid to him, not while he's alive, and even after he dies. After he died, then the Rosh realized he's next. They're going to put him in jail. They're going to put him in prison, hold up the Jewish community for the ransom money. So he ran away from Germany and went to Spain. So when he came to Spain, had this Yekeshe rabbi, he speaks German, and he was appointed a rabbi in a Sephardish community. He didn't know what was going on there. Didn't speak the language, and didn't know the Minhagim, and didn't know the Pesukei Dinim. So one of the issues that came up was they're wearing talesim, they're wearing arbekanfis made from linen. And this is also machlokes bishamai and bishil. Bishamai have a gzera de rabbanon. This is one of the six cases, but we paskan like bishamai, that you're not permitted to put tzitzis in a begad shel pishtim in a Torah. A begad shel pishtim is chayv in tzitzis, but with the rabbanon you're not allowed to put it. So the Gemara says the reason why is because you may put in tcheles. And trailers has to be a certain blue from Chalazon, has to be, and the string has to be wool. And a woolen string in a Begum Shel Pishtun is going to constitute Shatnez Deraisa. And you may fall in with a faker who sold you imitation trailers. And they say the Gemara, they called it Kloilon. The Sefer Ha'orach is a dictionary by Rab Nassim Miram. So he writes that Kloilon is what we call indigo, it's dark blue. So if they sold you imitation trailers, fake trailers, so you're just wearing shatan shalom and makam mitzvah, you have no head to do that. So the Shammai made this gzera de rabbanon, we pass like them, you're not permitted to put in tzitzis at all. And the begad shel pishtun, lest you'll fall in, you may put in trailers, you may fall in with pasla trailers. So the Rosh was surprised, how come the Jews in Spain were wearing tzitzis and a begum shel pishtun? So the Balabatim explained to him, "Rabbi, was fashtestinish. We don't have trailers today, so no one can fall in. In the days of the Gemara, they had trailers was available." So there the Gzeira Beishama implies. So the Rosh says, "Wow, Givaldik, it makes so much sense. It never occurred to him. That's absolutely correct. That since the whole Gzeira doesn't apply, the whole reason for the Gzeira doesn't apply, so you're allowed it, you should put in tzitzis and a begum shel pishtun as manazen." That's what the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch, Simeches, when the Torah quotes it. So the commentaries on Shulchan Aruch discuss, isn't that what we call the Dovashim Minyan, Tzach Minyan Achal Atiro? When the Chacham make a gzera de Rabbanon because of a certain concern, even if you live in a generation where the whole concern doesn't apply, so the din still is that you have to observe the gzera de Rabbanon, unless you have a later bezin that's going to repeal the gzera de Rabbanon. We never had a bezin repealing the gzera de Rabbanon. So how can the Rosh get so excited that the Balabatim, right, that the Gezer doesn't apply? That's what we mentioned when we were learning the beginning of Ksubis. We explained that the Mishkan Es Yankiv has a tshuva where he explains this in the Sefer Koheles Yankiv. In his original tshuvas he doesn't have, but the leftover tshuvas that he printed in the second volume, Koheles Yankiv, he explains, whenever the Gezer is Bakira's Dov Min HaTorah, then they had to incorporate the Tam HaGzer into the Nusach HaGzer, so then it can't be considered a Leiplug. So that's what he understands is the reason for this Tshuvas HaRosh.
What about the trailers we have
nowadays? The trailers we have today is at least a suffix. Some consider that it's a vadai, but I think it's at least a suffix. That people should say it's not even a suffix, this stuff, mamash, a joke. Not even a suffix. How can they say? It's either a suffix or a suffix karu l'vadai. That it is authentic trailers. The Beis HaLevi has in his tshuvas that if a person has trailers available and he doesn't bother to put it on, then he's in violation of Bal Tigra. So it's already better he shouldn't wear the Arba Kamfis at all. When a person, the Beis HaLevi writes in his tshuva, when a person, he lived in a generation when trailers was not available. So how do you wear Arba Kamfis? You're always in violation of Bal Tigra. So he says, Esa Dechaloy Sas. Everybody's walking around with Esa Dechaloy Sas. But as a dechel says, it's only if it's yev shel kaim shneim. But if you have trailers available, so then there's an isa bal tigra. So it's better not to wear the arba kamfis at all, rather than to wear the arba kamfis and not to put in the trailers. If a person can't afford it, trailers is expensive. If a person can't afford it, so let him not So let him not wear an Arba Kampas.
If it is a wrong tchilas and we're wearing it, it's not a problem. Like, that's not a problem.
No. The Gemara says he just lost money, but if he fell in with a faker, the Gemara says, Lo yehei el alovin. So he yotzei the mitzvah of alovin.
So
it doesn't pass.
According to that, probably be better than it, because of the suffix to get tchilas.
For sure. The Pashta says that that's the din of suffix deraisa l'chumra. So people say, no, people argue, suffix deraisa l'chumra only applies if you're mesupik, whether you did the mitzvah or not, ashuk alulub and an esrog, and I think maybe the esrog is possible, maybe it's an esrog amurkov, so shake again with a kosher esrog, and now you know for sure that you fulfilled the mitzvah. But if you have a situation where there's a suffix, if this is the authentic tchelas, even after you do it, you're still mesupik whether it's the right tchelas. So some argue that there you don't apply suffix deraisa l'chumra. So Rav Menachem Zemba, who was killed by the Nazis, was a goyim. He was a businessman, but he was a whole group of businessmen. Right before the Second World War, they knew Yerushalmi, Babli, everything. They knew Kol HaTorah Kula, and they were in business. A whole chabura like that in Poland. Polish goyim adirim. So he has a sefer. One of his sons was learning away from home, so he had a correspondence with his son. Then the son died at a very young age, so to memorialize the son, he published the correspondence that he had with the son. So he writes in one of the letters, he writes that this is a nice svara. He says some poskim hold like that, but he says it's against the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says that you say sofik deraisa l'chumra, even in a situation where after doing the chumra, it'll still be a sofik, whether you have accomplished anything or not. So the pashtus is that the tchelus that they have now is either a sofik or it's a sofik karv levadai, that it is authentic tchelus. Some rishonim say you should have two holes in each corner of the beged because the tzitzit should be notefes al hakeret. That's the lotion of the sifrei. Notefes al hakeret. Should be tachas hakeret, should be notefes al hakeret. What do you mean notefes al hakeret? So if you have two holes, that means that the tzitzit should come out
dripping
on the front.
Yeah, proverbially dripping. It's metaphorically dripping. It's proverbially dripping.
Right, right.
Dripping, but it's
right. So the Magen Avraham quotes those Rishonim, and he says, really more correct is you really make always two holes. But to have two holes on your talus gadol, so he recommends, Magen Avraham recommends you should do on your talus katan when no one's going to see.
It's a visual effect, but it looks like it's dripping.
Correct, right. When Rav Soloveitchik gave the shiur Menuchas Tzitzis, he wasn't so convinced that that's the best way to do, because he comes from Misnagdim. The Chassidim wear with two holes, the Misnagdim wear with one hole.
How does two holes help change anything? What does it do? Two holes?
So you pull the strings through, and everything, the whole Tzitzis is notefis a la keren. It's dripping on top of the corner. Literally, notefis a la keren.
What's the earliest source for that idea? I just heard you say it, so I translated it.
It's a little
linguistic. What's the source for it? What is it?
It's a lotion of the Sifrei on the Pasuk. Nasna al tzitzis akana psil trelis. Should be no tefes al akir. So in the Shulchan Aruch, they assume differently that when you wear a talus or an Arba Kampas, instead of having the tzitzis hang down, you should have the tzitzis come out on the side and hang down. But that's called no tefes al akir. Yeah, the tzitzis, normally the tzitzis hang down. If it comes out from one hole, normally it's going to hang down. So the Shulchan Aruch says you should always pull it to the side. So it should come out on the side and then hang down.
It should have some protruding feature of some sort.
Right, right.
Why does it matter? Why does it have to be
like that? Alakonov. It should be alakonov, aloy tachas hakonov. Then there's a discussion in the commentary in Shulchan Aruch. A person puts on his talus on Shabbos and he sees that the normal way tzitzis are, they're hanging down. So is it considered misakan mana if you pull a tzitzis sideways? Because b'di'evad you yotze like this, but if you pull it sideways, then you're making it lachatchila. So maybe to do it lachatchila, maybe that's called misakan mana.
Excuse me.
Yeah. So that's a discussion in Shulchan Aruch. Is that a violation of misakan mana? So I remember when we learned Hilchot Tzitzis, Rav Soloveitchik wasn't so convinced that all the Rishonim would agree to this. That if you have two holes, I think the Baloita, one of the Rishonim says this, you should have two holes. The Chassidim do like that, they follow the Magen Avraham, that they have on the Talus Katan, they have like that, they follow the Magen Avraham. Then on the Talus Katan, you have the two holes. The whole purpose of wearing tzitzit says in the Chumash, "Arisa Moses Chartam Skamitz Hashem Asis Ma'isam Veloy Sasuru." It's supposed to wear tzitzit, and it should remind us that we shouldn't sin. We should try to fulfill the mitzvah tzitzit with the kavana, with the tzitzit as well. It should prevent us from sinning. The pasuk describes how he's supposed to tie the tzitzit. We also lahem tzitzit. We also lahem tzitzit. So the Gemara has a din of tasav alayim in ha'osik. Let's say you have an old talus, and the old talus is all yellow. I'm going to throw it in the garbage. But the tzitzis are still good in the corner. So I'm going to take a scissors and cut out the corner. Then I'm going to sew this corner onto a new talus. Why should I untie all the strings and tie the strings again on the new talus? I'll cut off the whole corner. I'll take my new talus, cut out the corner, and I'll sew this corner from the other beggar on this beggar. So the Gemara says that that's not acceptable. That's called Tasav Lamin Ha'as. Or the Gemara gives another example, Tasav Lamin Ha'as. I don't know why the Meshuggah did this. He takes one long string and he pulls it through the hole four times. And then he makes knots and then he winds it around. And after he makes all the tzitzis, then he snips it. And then he made it into four long strings. When he was tying everything, when he made all the knots and the tzitzis, it was all one string. So the Gemara says that that's no good. That's Tasav Lamin Ha'as. The Gemara says, this case would be a machlekes Rabbi Shmuel in Sukkah around Daf Yud Beis. It would be a machlekes Rabbi Shmuel. Maybe I should say, Kitzitzosam Zuliasiyosam. When I snip, when I pull through the string four times, and then I tied all the knots, I rolled everything around, and then I snip it at the end. Maybe the snipping is called the Asiyah. So we paskin against that opinion. We paskin. You don't say, Kitzitzosam Zuliasiyosam. That's not good because Tasav Laminos. So the Chumash talks about Asiyas Atzitzis. So the Netziv has a fantastic chiddush towards the end of his sefer, his commentary on the Shiltas, which he wrote when he was a teenager. So he has a suggestion that we say, if you have a choice, you can either buy a talis that already has the tzitzis tied onto it, or you can buy tzitzis separately and a beggar separately, and you can tie the tzitzis on yourself. So he thinks that you should apply mitzvah bo yosem b'shluchoi even to the tying of the tzitzit. Even though tying of the tzitzit is not the mitzvah, it's a hechsher mitzvah, it's a chana that's going to lead up to the mitzvah. Mitzvah is when you wear the tzitzit. Tying of the tzitzit is not the mitzvah. So he has this fantastic chiddush that a hechsher mitzvah, kosa batoira, is treated as a mitzvah with respect to certain halachas. So this is one of them, that you say, mitzvah bo yosem b'shlucha. You wouldn't say mitzvah bo yosem b'shlucha. You should shear off the wool yourself from the animal. You should clean out the wool, and you should take the wool and make it into strings and twine the string. That you don't say mitzvah b'yosem b'shlucha. These are dinim. It has to be wool, and it has to be clean, and you have to twine it. But the Chumash doesn't say that's what you have to do here. It says v'asalam tzitzis. So since the Chumash talks about the hechsher mitzvah, this hechsher mitzvah, he has the same chiddush as a Rashi in Makkos Daf Ches, where Rashi sounds like he says it's a mitzvah. You should construct your own sukkah. Mitzvah bo yosem b'shlucha. It's not a mitzvah to construct the sukkah before sukkahs. That's a hechsher mitzvah. The mitzvah is to sit in the sukkah. But since construction of the sukkah is spoken of in the Chumash, so therefore we apply mitzvah bo yosem b'shlucha to the construction of the sukkah. To chopping down the wood, we didn't say mitzvah bo yosem b'shlucha. But to put the schach on the sukkah, we would say mitzvah bo yosem b'shlucha. Well, let's say a person knows how to write a mezuzah. So rather than buy a ready-made mezuzah, if he's a cipher, he should write his own mezuzah. That's a chiddush from the Netziv. He has a few nafkaminis ledina in this, that a hechsher mitzvah, kosma Torah, has this status of a semi-status of a mitzvah with respect to certain din. So this is one of the dinim that you say mitzvah bo yosem b'shlucha. Yeah, Rabbi Natam has a chiddush that a woman cannot tie tzitzis, because she's Zaini B'Torah, wherever Zaini B'Torah mitzvah sits, it cannot tie. Yeah, HaKotn also wouldn't be able to tie tzitzit. This is all on the assumption that tying of the chutim on the beggar needs asir lishma. The Rambam holds you don't need asir lishma. The Gemara learns that from Pasuk that if a nochri tied, the Abel ben Yisrael b'yamart olein, ben Yisrael b'yosef, v'lo yom asoil b'yosef. If goy ties on the tzitzit, it'll be possible. So what does the Gemara need a Pasuk that a goy is possible? If you need lishma, so a goy is automatically knocked out. A goy can't do lishma. So the Rambam understood from the Gemara, you don't need asiyah lishma when you tie the chutam on the beggar. The Gemara does say that you need asiyah lishma when you make the strings. when you take the wool and you make it into strings, you have to have Asiyah Lishma. But when you tie the strings on the beggar, the Rambam holds you don't need Asiyah Lishma. Rabbi Natan and Tosfos hold that doesn't make any sense. The whole thing that you need Asiyah Lishma on the strings is because the premise is you need tying on the beggar, you need Lishma. And not only tying on to the beggar is Asiyah Lishma, making the strings, manufacturing the strings, also all the way back. You call that also Asiyah Lishma. Shearing off the wool from the animal's back, that's not called Asiyah Lishma. But making the strings, that is called Asiyah Lishma. So that's, according to Rabbi Natan, you need Asiyah Lishma. So a cotton would not be kosher to tie the tzitzis onto the beggar. And Isha is potter from the mitzvah. Taisa says in other places, we paskin women are potter from tzitzis, that it is as man grama, because we paskin reason most of patak sus laila, so it says man grama, women are potter. So since women are potter, so they're mufka from creating Lishma. Rabbi Kivegra on the bottom of the page in Hilchas Tzitzis has a quotes from the what's the name of the Sefer? The Haflor wrote a Sefer on Chumash. What's the name of the Sefer?
Panim
Yofis. So Rabbi Kivegra quotes from the Panim Yofis a remis against the Rabbi Natan. There is a Dabel B'nei Yisrael V'Amarta Aleihem V'Yasu Lahem Tzitzis. Why does it say twice? Dabel B'nei Yisrael V'Amarta Aleihem. Dabel B'nei Yisrael. So he says, whenever it says dibur, that's a loshen kosher. Whenever it says mayura, it's a loshen rako. So he says, the panim yofis says, dabel b'nei Yisrael, tell the men you should speak loshen kosher, that they should tell their wives, we are marto aleihem, but loshen rako, the husband should tell their wives, we also lahem tzitzis, that the wife should tie tzitzis. I remember from the pasuk against the Rabbi Natan that a woman can tie tzitzis. I remember I used to be, my grandfather was a shamus in the Young Israel of Tremont, where Rabbi Peretzky used to be the rabbi. My grandfather taught me before my bar mitzvah. My grandfather taught me how to tie tzitzis. So whenever they needed someone to tie tzitzis on the talus and shul, I always used to tie the tzitzis. So many years later, I found out that that's a question. That's a machlekes, whether cotton can tie tzitzis, because the cotton can't create lishma.
Maybe a sulam tzitzis is to make a string, not necessarily tie it.
What one?
A sulam tzitzis is a sulam tzitzis. That's not kashulam tzitzis.
Maybe. No, Yasu goes on the Kshira. That goes on the time.
It does.
Yeah, yeah. Very good. Okay. Tomorrow, who's giving the Shia? I think Rabbi Reese is giving the Shia. What's the topic?
First of all.